AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome in to Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Michael Connor in the house today as Jeremy Branham is out in Las Vegas with the Cougs.
I'm here to bring you the takes. I'm going to take Jeremy's role, saying a lot of hot stuff today.
A lot of hot stuff.
A lot of sizzle.
You have to say go Cougs then.
Oh, go Cougs.
Jeremy at Jeremy Branham on Twitter. Cover all the bases there. I think the Cougs were playing Tennessee today is who I saw.
Yeah.
Good win last night.
They beat Cuse last night, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
What are they playing in? What's it called?
Players Era Invitational.
Yeah, it's a lot of history there. A lot of history in the Players Era Invitational.
Yeah, Jeremy was bragging about how he gave a head nod to Melo yesterday.
I'm sure Melo nodded him back.
Yeah, he claims he did at least. We'll be here with you guys until 6 o'clock. We're going to talk some Texans, some Astros, some Rockets. We're going to get to it all. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, since Thursday is Thanksgiving. He will join us at 4 o'clock today. We'll do the fix. We'll see if Brian gets his picks in for the day. He's down the hall, but, you know.
People are working, man.
Can't respond to a group chat.
People are working. Leave them alone.
We'll give it our picks for the weekend in the NFL and in college football. It's 3 games each, by the way. Just so you know, I forgot to tell you that before the show. but last night, the Rockets, their first game of two, we think only 2 games, without Kevin Durant. They play the Phoenix Suns. They get the victory, 114-92. Dylan Brooks, for the Suns, was excellent. But
he's been excellent all year for them.
Yeah, but Amen Thompson was better. 28 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds last night. He was all over the place. I mean, that one bucket he had, I think it was in the fourth quarter, where he's, you know, he gets it in transition. He does the little up and under reverse layup. He is just such an impressive basketball player. And I feel like this year, Michael, he's been a little, like, not disrespected or anything like that, but it's just there's been so much love, rightfully so, put towards Alpi, KD, Reed Shepard as of late. That, like, Amen feels like a little forgotten to me. And last night was a reminder of just how special of a basketball player he was, because he was really phenomenal from start to finish in that game last night.
I think he gets forgotten, too, because, you know, he's a guy that does all the dirty work, right? Like, there's nights he's not going to ever be, like, do we ever expect him to be a prolific 25 a night guy? Probably not.
Probably not.
But if he pushes 20 a game, that's great. He's not going to shoot from the outside a lot. We know that. I just think he's one of those guys that just, I mean, he gives that vibe that he's not worried about the spotlight as much as some other players.
No, and it feels like he's actually one of those players that will probably rise to the occasion.
Yes. And honestly, he did that. Let me think about it last night. Yeah, you don't have KD. Like, you need somebody to step up there on the road and against a Phoenix team that's surprised so far this year, without a doubt. And he stepped up and did it.
Yeah, I mean, without Jalen Green for all but, like, what, 1 or 2 games this season, they've been playing pretty good basketball this year. They sit at 11-7. They are playing much better defense. Dylan Brooks had 29 points last night. He's been good offensively and defensively. For, I mean, that one shot he made, like the turnaround shot at the corner of the free throw, was something that I don't know if he ever did while he was here in Houston. I did have, like, I don't know if it, I guess it's not FOMO. But I did miss Dylan Brooks a lot last night. And I'm very glad the Rockets made the Kevin Durant trade. It's a great trade. I would not to undo anything. But part of me did wish last night that, like, maybe Tari was in that deal.
Why does everybody hate Tari?
It's not like Tari, but Tari's on the bench giving Dylan hugs after the game.
But like, I get this from people all the time. Like, I talked to somebody the other day, and they're like, I just can't stand Tari Eason. I'm like, what?
I like Tari.
I mean, people, I just don't get it.
I just like players that play. And Dylan Brooks plays.
He does play. Yeah, like, Tari does have a little bit of injury history.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
He's out again for a while. So, but last night was a good win for the Rockets. They moved to 11-4 on the season. They're 6-2 on the road, and they're just playing pretty consistent basketball. Like, last night was probably the worst game Reed Shepard's had in a little bit. Only 7 points, 1 for 5 from the 3-point line. But he continues to look comfortable.
I was so nervous about him this year. So nervous.
I've done a full 180 since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it was a slow start.
I was like, I get grief for it, rightfully so. I was like, just trade him at the deadline.
He's played like 48 games in the NBA. Get rid of him.
Like, you need a point guard, and like, use Reed Sheppard to move on. And now I'm in. Like, I'm in on Reed Sheppard. And part of it's because I liked how the Rockets immediately pivoted with him. Like, they took him off the ball.
Yeah.
Or they made he's him not a off point the guard. Ball guard.
He's not a point guard. He put the ball in his hands to shoot. That's a great question, though, that you bring that up there, the point guard thing. This many games in with how they're playing, how are you feeling about that?
I feel better than I thought I would.
Honestly. I do, too.
Like, I think there's still I want to see what it looks like against, like, the elite level of competition on a more consistent basis. And the Rockets' schedule hasn't been super challenging. And, you know, three of their four losses this year are to, you know, the Nuggets, the Spurs with Wemby, mm-hmm. and then obviously that first game of the season to the Thunder. So you've lost to the best teams in the Western Conference so far. So but at this point, like, I feel fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that they're going to address it in some sort of fashion come trade deadline. Like, I can't imagine there's not going to be some sort of addition that can handle, you know, ball handling duties for you when you need it. Man, it'd be nice. Could you imagine if this team did have Fred, though?
Oh, dude, they would be...
They'd be perfect, almost.
Yeah, they would
be... They're
not
perfect. They're not perfect because they don't shoot a lot of threes. They're not ever going to shoot a lot of threes. They're not going to make a lot of threes. But I think they're the lowest volume three-point shooter team in the league. Like, but no, they'd be about perfect.
They wouldn't really need anything.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Like, you wouldn't be looking, even like the loss of Tari, you'd be like, well, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith is going to come back at some point. And you're going to get him back. You're going to get Tari. But the point guard position still feels, even in a game, because there's part of last night's game where, you know, it was getting a little uncomfortable at times. Mm-hmm. Like Phoenix was making a run in the game. And that's where that's where you're missing a point guard the most, is just that guy that can kind of settle everything down when things are going at its absolute worst. But Amen and Alfie and then KD have all done a good job of that themselves. So I feel like specifically when you play Golden State or not Golden State. Yeah, Golden State too as well, like when you're facing Steph Curry. Like really when you're playing OKC, like that to me is where, like, that's where you need the guard. Because it's like who like you need someone. We saw in that first game of the season, it hasn't been as much of a trouble since, of just like getting the ball across the court.
No, without a doubt.
But they have the third best defense in the NBA on points allowed and the third best offense in the NBA for points scored.
Which is kind of absurd. Kind of wild sometimes when you look at it, because, I mean, I don't know, you watch them. Sometimes it doesn't feel like they're as good defensively. Then you look at it, it's like, oh, actually, they are. They're actually doing their thing. Some nights where it just doesn't feel as great.
No, and that's where, like, the point guard with the Reed Sheppard part of this is I think he's done an adequate job defensively. Like,
yeah.
It hasn't been great at times, but he's done enough so far this season where, like, the effort is there. The quick hands are there. We saw that again in last night's game. Like, he's not perfect, but you don't really need him to be at this point in the season either. Like, you just need him to try a little bit and, you know, hopefully not have to go into a zone a ton, which we didn't see a ton of, you know, in last night's game. But, like, I don't love the way I don't feel like they're a great zone team, but they're kind of forced into it when Reed's playing. So I'm good with where they're at right now. And the complicated part of, like, what you asked is, like, I don't know how they get a point guard at this point in the season.
I mean, honestly, the guy you brought up a minute ago, if you could ever get any kind of Tari's, I think the clear trade candidate at some point. Because of the contract situation that's going to be coming up.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to pay him what the street value for him is. Because he's going to – here's the NBA players make a ton of money, and he'll get a ton of money from somebody. He's going to get at least $80, $90 million from somebody. Mm-hmm. You're not paying him that.
No. Well, you would have already. Like, you had your chance to make a deal.
Yeah.
And it feels like this injury, another one, is why they didn't make a deal with Tari. To your point you made earlier, yeah, the Rockets are last in the NBA in three-point attempts per game. They're taking 30.3.
There used to be an era where that was the top of the league.
Yeah, but they are first in the NBA with 42% three-point percentage makes.
It's good.
So they're really playing a different style of basketball, feels like, than the rest of the league. Like, they lead the league in rebounds at this point with 49.6 rebounds per game, which is absurd. They're in the tops of the NBA in steals per game, in blocks per game. Like, they're just... They're playing like an old school version of basketball. Anyways, like, it's not mid 2000s totally, but it's not the Daryl Morey Rockets or Steph Curry Warriors version of the NBA either.
I don't want to say that I didn't have fun in the Daryl Morey era, the James Harden era, whatever. I've not had this much fun, though. Looking back on it, hitting the eject button on everything, and doing the rebuild, and they got the guy leading the pack. God, I love Amendola.
He's awesome.
I love his style. I love how his team plays for him. I love the physicality of his team. I am so excited to watch Rockets basketball every night when it comes on. And it's been a long time since I felt this.
It is a totally different vibe with the Rockets around that. Like, there's rightfully a lot of people that when James Harden was here, they did not enjoy them watching play basketball.
But it was ugly. Night, think back on it. It was ugly. It was ugly basketball.
But yeah, absolutely. But now, like, they're can't-miss television. And they got a big game on Wednesday night. I'll be really curious to see what it looks like, KD versus – or no KD versus the Warriors. But the Warriors are 10-9 on the season. Like, they haven't been great. You know, the Warriors are the 1.5-point favorites in that game. But to me, in the NBA, like, that's a tough.
It depends on who's got the fix-in in that one. Yeah. The world's most rigged league.
Yeah. Well, you've been out – it's been a while since you've been on the air, I think. So.
Yeah, I think I was here last month with Lance one day.
Had the NBA broken
nope,
apart yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so we'll have to touch on that at some point. Because Chauncey Billups pleaded not guilty last night.
It's the Damon Jones part of this. That's the wildest to me.
Yeah, the players, the Terry Rozier, Jontay Porter, Damon Jones part of this is the one that's like doesn't. It's not great.
It's not good
great for the NBA.
It's not good.
It doesn't help that you know they're most famous for fixing the lottery at this point either. Yeah, most of the league. But last night's just like it's just another notch for the Houston Rockets of you know. Answer it. There's a lot of questions about this season, I think, from like what this team is going to look like. And at some point in the season, and most of it's in 2026, is what is this team going to look like on a back-to-back without Kevin Durant in game one of no KD, you know, thinking about what a back-to-back will look like in the future. I thought it was very positive last night.
I think it's good, too, because you know at some point, here's the unfortunate truth of Kevin Durant. He's going to miss some time for injury at some point this season. That happens basically every year. When's the last time you played a full season of games? It's got to be years ago.
Yeah.
So get a good little preview of it. Get yourself ready. Figure out how you're going to play those games. And Amen Thompson, we're staring at you, I think, more than anybody else in those games to be the guy that, you know, kind of fixes it. Yet KD, oh, he played 75 games 2 years ago.
That's more than I thought.
Yeah, me too. But you don't look at the other years, 32, 55, 47, yeah, 62.
Yeah, and that's all post-Achilles. Right?
Yeah,
so like, of course. I mean, before the Achilles, he was pretty
consistent.
He was out there quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, when KD's out like last night, I think that's where Amen has to shine. When KD's there, I think Alpi's kind of the main guy. But without KD, it feels like Amen has to elevate his game specifically. And he did that last night. Like he was just the double clutch dunk he had in last night's game. Some of the defensive stuff. He took a nasty elbow off the face, which people were freaking out about at one point in the game because they thought he hit his head off the ground, which he did not clearly. But it just they're playing really good basketball. And to your point about Ime Udoka, like he just has them on like a path that is.
It feels right.
Yeah, it's just so well coached. And it's you don't want to, you know, you have to fit a certain mold to be a member of the Houston Rockets. And now for another game, somehow Aaron Holiday's awesome.
I love it. You get those random Aaron Holiday games in the middle of the season, like out of nowhere. Hey, here's 22 from Aaron Holiday tonight. Oh, he's going to knock down 6 threes. Like, it's, yeah, that's just what they do.
Like his last two games, he goes, this is his last three games. On the 19th against the Cavs, he goes for 18 points. On 60% percent from three, 71.4% from the floor. He gets 1 point in 13 minutes against the Denver Nuggets. And then last night, 22 points on 60% from three, 47% from the floor. So, yeah, he's just this, I guess he's your spark plug.
Yeah, doesn't play for 3 weeks at a time and then comes in and gives you 22 but, or whatever.
I mean, if that's what the solution is here when KD or Tari are out is Aaron Holiday and he's going to play at this level – that also means you probably don't need to add too much at the deadline.
I think, barring injury, I think that this team probably stays basically the same almost.
I think so, too. Like, I think you would need something pretty dramatic. You know, like, you would have to have a point guard that fits this roster. To me, it's probably a veteran player that you can get on the cheap, and it probably isn't even at the deadline anymore.
No, like, probably not.
I'm looking more like post-deadline buyout market.
Buyout market is where they're going to feast.
Yeah.
For
like,
sure.
Like, that's because, like, this is where, like, the veterans are going to want to play. So, like, you can get, like, a veteran point guard to come in, help just fill that role in crunch time situations. I would be – the more we watch the Rockets play, the less I think they're going to make a big move this year.
You don't need to when you've got three All-Stars on your team already.
At least.
Without a doubt, three All-Stars.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm telling you, all three. So Alpi.
So it should be. The problem is, there's one problem.
What's the problem?
They're doing that stupid new All-Star.
Oh, yeah, I forget. The NBA.
So there's only eight Euro spots for Alpi.
Alpi's making it. There's no way he's not making it. He's averaging 22-9-7 a game.
Okay. Let's go through it.
Jokic is making it.
Jokic?
Of course.
Giannis.
Luka.
Uh-huh. Those are all locks.
Yeah. NBA will never not have them in the All-Star game.
Wemby?
Yeah, I forget about
that. That's four.
Stupid French boy.
I don't know exactly where the Canadians all fit into this. I think they're going to be on the Euro team. I don't think they're. I don't think it's a North American roster. Like you're going. So like those four are locked. So this is where SGA comes in. So that's five. So
maybe you're right.
Three spots left. It's just because. So Alpi's going to be borderline. I think he deserves it. He should be an All-Star this year.
And he won last year.
Yeah, but potentially because of the new rules, like he might be having a battle.
And
for
guess
a spot.
What? I'm not going to watch a single second of the All-Star game, even though they changed it.
I'll watch the 3-point shot contest this year if Reed's in it.
I won't.
I'll watch Reed will win it.
You think he'll win it?
Yeah, I'll call my shot.
Okay.
Reed will win it this year. All right, that's my
the guy Connor. You hate. He's going to win it.
I'm Team Reed now.
Joe hates Reed.
No, I've moved on. We're BFFs now. Team Reed Shepard, even this bad mustache and all. All right, he's Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. It's Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lee Sterling joins us at 4 o'clock. Let's get into the Astros. It is offseason. Michael Connor, of course, does post-game shows for Locked On Astros. We'll get into them next. Their offseason, what it's going to look like, and one guy they were potentially targeting comes off the board today. We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No, Jeremy, he's out in Vegas. Joe George, Michael Connor here with you until 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, there will be no afternoon show. I will join Jeremy on vacation. Not in Las Vegas, but taking the day off tomorrow.
Dang, you should go to Vegas, man.
Las Vegas does sound fun. This time of year, college basketball tournament going on.
You know somebody that can fly you there.
That's true. You could fly me there.
Yeah, it may take us a while, but we get there.
Should we just leave right now?
Yeah, we could leave now. It's fine. Weather's pretty good now. It's pretty bad this morning.
So you're going to be a pilot?
Yeah.
So how much pilot school do you have left?
I've got 4 more flights before I take my check ride to get my commercial license.
Okay.
And then I will do about a 2-week course to do my multi-engine add-on. And then I could technically be done. I could be hired by anybody. But I can't go to the airlines until I have 1,500 hours flying.
Oh.
But if I become a CFI, which is a certified flight instructor, I will do 2 more courses of doing that and take more check rides. So, yeah, I could be in school.
I mean, look, 1,500 hours like that makes me feel more comfortable about like getting an airplane with a newbie.
Yeah, no, you should.
Because it's like
the training is insane.
Yeah, well, which it should be.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. You're only flying an airplane. People's lives.
It's kind of a big deal
in your hands.
And I just hate to break it to you. There's a lot of automation.
I'm sure.
I mean, you have to know how to manage it, but there's a lot of automation. You get that bad boy up in the air, hit that autopilot button. Yeah, there you go.
So you're really, really grinding up there.
I'm gonna be dude. The plane that I'm gonna fly with the airline that I'm going to feed into, it's like one of the world's most automated airplanes.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
That post-radio life.
Yeah.
Fly.
And you get paid an ass ton of money to just sit up there. That's what I'm really looking forward to. Work 14 days out of the month.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. So over the weekend, there was a lengthy report about the Houston Astros and the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
Starts off with who everyone today said Nolan Arenado is going to be traded this offseason, Ken Rosenthal, all of them. But the Astros this offseason are not a team interested in Nolan Arenado.
Could you think about how – I thought about that the other day when I saw his name, how differently things would have been this year if they had traded for him, if he had accepted the trade last year. Correa's not here.
Paredes is probably not here.
Yeah.
You're probably getting someone else from the Cubs.
And you're stuck with Nolan Arenado.
I don't know if maybe Ian Happ or something like that is your left fielder.
Yeah.
It's fine. But you're not – Paredes is not here. Correa's not here, and you have a bad third baseman.
Yeah.
Like, it's you're in a way worse position. Like, it's a good thing, honestly, for the Astros that move did not happen. They reportedly, though, the Astros are interested, or were interested in, let's say were now, Sonny Gray was one of the pitchers they were interested in, according to this report. He today was traded to the Boston Red Sox for two prospects.
And money.
So, like, he's owed $20 million next year, but the Cardinals are paying a chunk of it.
Yeah.
So, like, that could have made sense for the Astros, but it sounded like they were going to have to circle back on Sonny Gray because they kind of balked at the price that was initially out there. But Brendan Donovan, you know, from Chandler Rome, is someone that the Astros are very interested in trading for this season. This report did say there's been a lot of chatter about the Astros shopping both Christian Walker and Isak Paredes.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe the words that Dana Brown said, anything really that he said the other day at the GM meetings where he's, you know, talking about keeping both those players. You can't. You just can't. It's not feasible. You don't have enough positions to play these guys. Isak Paredes is not going to play second base. He's fat. He's slow. He's bad defensively.
Yeah.
He's got okay hands.
Yeah, he was better at third base this year than I thought.
But he's got terrible range and a very average. The average arm is fine at second base. But he cannot play second base. Unless he just decided to go on. You know, honestly, if he got Ozempic this offseason and lost a bunch of weight and could move a little bit better, maybe we'd be talking about him at second base.
Yeah, but like then, you know, he can only hit home runs into the Crawford box is like what they get there.
Yeah.
Lost a bunch of weight? Like, that's kind of
bad speed. You can get the bad speed still, right?
Yeah, most
producing enough bad speed, maybe.
So, I think Paredes, if you were to keep this roster together, Paredes is your DH. Altuve is your second base.
And that doesn't make sense either.
No, it doesn't.
And that's where they have to get to. Paredes has to be moved.
Paredes or Walker, because I think Paredes can play first.
Yeah, you could probably play him at first. But Christian Walker has no value.
Yeah,
you're going to be shipping out money plus the player at that point.
Yeah, you're going to get a low-level prospect.
Yeah.
Who probably has had.
You're going to get the Carlos Correa trade all over.
Yeah.
A single-A 28-year-old.
Who the Twins have waived.
Yes.
So, like, who's no longer a member of their organization. Like, they literally gave up Carlos Correa for nothing.
Nothing.
Like, just to give up part of his salary because they ate some of it. So, like, that's what you'd be trying to do with Christian Walker. I think most likely, like, Paredes would be the guy. Like, if they're going to really be shopping these two, Paredes is the one that gets you the best player in return.
You need an outfielder, too, so.
And it gets you, you know, it solves your problem. So, like, Brendan Donovan, to me, is the one. Like, that, to me, is the move it feels like the Astros want to do the most. Just based on all the reporting that there's been so far. Like, Donovan and Cease have been the hottest names for the Astros.
There's no way they're getting Cease.
For a while, I was really in on it. I really thought they were.
It's too much money.
And then this Dubon-Urias thing happened.
Yeah.
Where they're just clearly making moves to shed salary to get below the luxury tax. Like, you would have to move Christian Walker, I think, to then be able to also sign Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get rid of a substantial salary. And Paredes isn't a substantial salary.
No.
Like, it lets you bring
it's like in like 6-7 million or something.
Yeah. Like, and Paredes can come in and, like, he can be a fine. Like, he can be, like, it'd be crazy. Like, he's a good player. He'd be on his fourth team in 2 years.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd be fine if Brendan Donovan is your second baseman next year, like if that's the move that you're making. But I just don't know where, like how you move Walker at this point, like without eating 50% of it. And I just don't think Jim Crane's going to want to do that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they've done that so much with so many other things that I just don't think that that's going to happen. And like, I think that there's actually, you could get value off of Paredes and you move him. You get an outfielder or whatever because it already sounds like you're going to move off Jake Myers, which is probably the smart move because he's never going to have a value this high again. I'm a little shocked at how much public heat they're putting on Cam Smith, but I get it. You know, he's got to step up, and then the left field situation. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not a Debbie Downer by any means. Like, it's been an unbelievable run. They were still a winning baseball team last year, but it's starting to get the vibes a bit like after they went to the World Series in 05, when they got to like that 08 year where it's, you're kind of hanging on to some things.
Well, I think like the way to not be hanging on to things is the one thing that they've been talking a lot about very openly, both Joe Espada and Dana Brown, is Cam Smith. Feels like for the Astros window to like really, really open up again.
He's got to be great.
He's got to be great. And he was great for a month and a half this last season. But when they're talking about him having to earn his spot on the Major League roster this year, which is why Jesus Sanchez was not non-tender.
He's got to go, too.
He ain't going nowhere.
He has to. You have to move him. That guy sucks.
I think he's a right fielder next year.
Oh, God.
He's your backup plan.
Throw up my mouth.
Ready. Like, your outfield next year is a combination of Altuve and Yordan on left. I think you're right about Jake Myers. I think they move on from him. So then you're going to have Melton. I don't know if Cole can play center field. So probably Melton's your center fielder, I would say, primarily next year. And then you have Jesus Sanchez and Cam Smith are your right fielders. Like, some combination of that is what you're looking at in the outfield next season.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it can be fine. But, like, you need these young players to start to step up. And they have to spend money, which we'll talk about. Like, they have to go out and spend money.
Yeah, if they want to be better and they want to contend, they want to get back past Seattle, they want to do their thing, you got to suck it up. It's the truth. Like, you're going to have to pay some luxury tax and deal with it and make your baseball team better. And they were incredibly unlucky last year with a lot of injuries. There's no doubt about that. But they're going to have to spend some money and really get it. And to me, you got to get a lot of innings somewhere. Mm-hmm. You got to find innings.
Well, there's a couple guys that we can discuss. We'll get to some big college football news that just came out for if you're a North Texas graduate. We'll get to that next as well. That's all coming up next year. Michael Connor in for Jeremy Branham. I'm Joe George here on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Affordability, it's the biggest problem right now in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000. Most people's wages, they just have not kept up with that. And that's why some people are stuck with these seven-year loans just to make the payments work. At D&M Leasing, they solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, and terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve the payment problem today. All you have to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000. You'll get no payments until 2026. You'll work with one leasing agent. They will walk you through the leasing process. So if you've never done it before, if you're a little nervous about it, they will explain, break it all down for you. And when it's time, they'll get you that car within 24 to 72 hours, especially if you already know what car you want. And they'll bring it to you, and they'll take your trade-in on the way as they leave. All you got to do, again, dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 for no payments until 2026.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George, Michael Connor here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll have our first real test here, it looks like, for the College Football Playoff Committee as North Texas head coach Eric Morris is expected to become the next head coach at Oklahoma State. He is going to coach North Texas's remaining games, including their potential American Conference title game appearance and their college football playoff bid, which could be
If you're Oklahoma State, why would you want that? Why would you allow that to happen if you're going to hire and pay him all his money?
Yeah, he's got to get staff in place because the portal's in January. Now, I think it's all realistic. Like, they're going to lose if they're the 12 seed, they'll lose the first game to the 5 seed.
Yeah,
whoever ends up being so, like, they'll be a one and done. He'll be done on December 20th.
I'm out on this whole giving these schools a bid in the playoff.
Yeah, because
it's a waste of time.
Yeah, they don't deserve it. The ACC doesn't deserve it this year.
No.
Because Miami's not going to play in the ACC title game, and they're going to be the highest-ranked ACC team, and they're not going to make the playoff. So we'll see how – now, North Texas isn't a lock to be in the college football playoffs, right? Like, they're – right now, Tulane is the team at 24, but they would be playing Tulane at the moment – in the American title game. They're the only team in the American with one loss. I just wonder, like, he's coaching, so, like, it's fine. But he is, like, halfway out the door. And I do wonder, like, if it comes down to it, do you take North Texas, who's losing their coach, who's still going to be there for the game, or do you look at James Madison? Like, how does that factor in? We'll find out about Lane Kiffin on Sunday, sounds like, after, or I guess on Saturday, maybe after the Egg Bowl. Like, what? If he's leaving,
why would you leave?
I think Ole Miss is like a highly overrated job. It hasn't been that good of a job until Lane took it. Like, I would rather be.
Oh, there's no denying that. But, like, at this point, like, you're getting all the money you need in the world, you're getting all the players you want right there, you're already having success there. That, I mean, it's just wild. Like, you just pick up and go to, I don't know. Yeah, sorry to the LSU fans. I think the LSU job's a little overrated. The Florida job is wildly overrated.
The reason why I think the LSU job's not overrated is because of, even with all the
they
chaos
will
that's
kick
happening.
Kick you out as quickly as they brought you in.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's true. But, like, you have, you know, like, okay, so, like, in Florida, you have two coaches in our lifetime that have won a national championship, right? You have Spurrier and Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Two of the best college football coaches ever.
Yeah.
At LSU, it's not the case. Like, you've had Saban won a title, mm-hmm. Miles won a title, Orgeron won a title. So, like, you have all these guys winning titles who aren't elite-level coaches besides Saban.
Sure.
And not a unless it's changed recently, but the last time I checked, not a single player that is committed to LSU for next year under Brian Kelly has decommitted, which is absurd. Like, that does not happen when a coach gets fired.
Yeah.
So, like, my question, though, for, like, the committee is, it's not just about the coach. Is we saw last year Bo Prabula enter the transfer portal while Penn State was still active. Now, he's the backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what if the North Texas, you know, quarterback or running back, I don't know which one of them are seniors, but, like, the best players on the team, what if they say, well, we have to leave now. We have to go to the portal now because we want to go play elsewhere because our coach is gone. We want to follow him to Oklahoma State. Like, what if these players start dropping off? What if that happens to Ole Miss? What if after they're, like, are you worried that, like, you know, their best players are like, well, I'm going to the portal and I'm following Lane to LSU.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not the same team that
this whole
qualified
thing's a mess,
for the playoffs.
Man.
Like, they have to change. I don't know if they can change, like, the hiring cycle process. They have, like, the portal is hard to move because they do make them be student athletes still. Or, like, the challenging part.
Come on,
is
let's,
like,
get past that. Just they're employees.
But that's why the portal is when it is.
Yeah.
Because so they can register for classes.
So stupid.
Like that's the only reason why.
So stupid.
Like and like you. So like
they're not even going to classes.
Exactly. Why can't there be an exception? Like, push it back till after the playoff. All of it. Just move all of it back. And it solves all these problems. But I just, this is going to be like a new test, a new wrinkle. And as college football playoff, as it expands, which it's going to at some point, like it only just, it adds to the questions of just like, how does these committees, do they handle it? Like it's a fascinating question that we'll maybe see to play out this year. If you missed the announcement yesterday from Ross Dellinger, he reported that December 1st, so next Monday, is the format deadline for the college football playoff between ESPN and the college football committee or group, whatever.
Yeah.
They've pushed that back through January, at least through January. So they've got now, instead of, you know, 6 days now, they've got 2 months roughly, at least, to figure out if there's going to be a new format next year, because apparently the commissioners are still at a impasse, which is really just the Big Ten and the SEC don't agree.
The Big Ten. Thinking, overdoing themselves once again, thinking that they're the best thing going in college football. And then you go watch half their games, and it's just like,
yeah, but they got the last two titles, and they got the best team in the country
that's,
now.
That's true. I'll give them that. But man, that is one of the most overrated conferences, I swear.
So when they met last Monday, the Big Ten presented a 24-team model. At the time, all the executives agreed that a 12-team model is what they're going to stick with, but the SEC is wanting a 16.
I think 16 is the sweet spot for sure.
I think so, too. Like, I'm coming around. Like, Jeremy and I were having this debate. Like, he's very pro-24. I'm more pro-12.
24, you're starting to dilute it like it's the NBA. You know, like, half the league's making it there. And, you know, it's...
So I'm starting to come around a little bit to the 24 just because I don't like what's happening with, like, the bottom. Like, there are teams that are going to miss the playoffs this year that I do think are deserving that can make some noise. But it's not going to be like that every year. And that's where I think people are, like, including myself, like, you're living in the moment a little bit. My biggest issue with both of these is, like, I just don't think these teams deserve 4 automatic qualifiers. Like, I just do not, like, there's no way you can tell me right now the ACC deserves automatically,
I mean,
4 teams
hell,
in the college football playoff.
I love my Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can't convince me that there's 4 Big 12 teams that need to make it, like, at all. At all.
And
maybe two.
And I get why, like, they're trying to play ball here a little bit with, like, with the Big 12 and the ACC and say, hey, you're going to get either as many teams as us or you know, only one less team than us potentially. Like, but like, I just these conferences don't deserve it. And at some point, the Big Ten will be in the same position where, like, it's like, what's the argument for why they deserve to be in? Like, does 9-2 Michigan deserve an auto bid into the playoffs?
Let's just get this thing over with. Two conferences, Big Ten, SEC, split the thing up, put all the other schools in there that you need to. There's your conferences. Make the playoff happen.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That's where I'm with you on that. Like, just make it really simple. Two conferences, split up the ACC, split up the Big 12. But they have to get the TVs in, like, and that's where the TV stuff comes in. And I will, until they make me, I will be pro-independent for Notre Dame. But at some point, like, you have to probably also get Notre Dame in. Now, I think the only way to solve these problems is to, like, work in their TV contracts and basically say, like, hey, the ACC contract, we're going to fold that into the SEC.
Yeah.
And we're going to let you keep that contract, and we're going to air games on both, you know, what, ESPN, no, CBS now, and on whatever NBC, whatever ACC is predominantly on at this point. Hell, same thing with Notre Dame. Like, if you want Notre Dame to join a conference, I think that's fine. Like, I don't want to, but they make $20 million a year from NBC and Peacock.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're never going to do it.
So if you want them, then the SEC or the Big Ten should say, hey, we'll take you, but you get to keep your TV contract.
Yeah.
Now, Ohio State's going to hate that.
Yeah, they're all going to be like,
and Michigan's going to hate that. But, like, well then you can't have them.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the easiest solution. But I'm with you. Just two conferences, make it nice and easy. You know,
it might happen before we're dead, Joe. I mean, think about it. You know, it's taken all these years to just get to the playoff. We spend our childhood and our teens and our early 20s arguing about BCS this, BCS that, college. Yeah. I remember the spree of realignment talk the first time when that first started, like 2010 range. Mm-hmm. Look where we're at today.
Yeah.
So maybe before we're dead, they'll figure it out.
I doubt it.
I do too.
I mean, think about it. Like, realignment's been happening forever. Penn State was, what, independent?
Yeah.
I think you were probably alive for it, but, like, barely.
What year was that?
I think they went to the Big Ten in 90, I think it was 92?
I was alive.
So I was just born, I think, when they joined.
I was big, you know. I was throwing a lot of parlays down at 92, actually.
Yeah,
I was big in the scene, the parlay game.
But we'll see. It's college football has always got something going on, and that's the latest right now. Again, the North Texas head coach is leaving. He is going to be the head coach at Oklahoma State, but he's going to stay through the rest of the season, no matter how long that lasts. It doesn't say bowl games though, so it probably is the American Conference Championship, the college football playoff, or deuces. Because who's staying for a bowl?
No, nobody's staying
at this point. All right, let's get back into the Astros. What's the perfect offseason at this point now with what your expectations are for the Astros? We'll get to that next before Lee Sterling joins us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Jeremy today, it's Joe and Michael here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's Michael Connor, that is. You can find him on Twitter at Michael...
You don't need to find me there anymore.
Underscore Connor.
I don't ever tweet anymore.
You don't tweet anymore? You can find him on the Locked On Texans YouTube channel for his Texans Squad show. They'll be on the show tomorrow night. Post-game shows for the Texans as well. Also, post-game shows on the Locked On Astros YouTube channel as well. You know, lots going on these days with both those teams. Feels like the Astros are set up for an interesting offseason. Like, we've seen them unload Urias, Dubon. We just were talking about some of their infield and outfield options, some of the rumors going on. How do you feel about a Justin Verlander reunion?
Didn't love it at first. Okay with it now. You know why? Because like I said earlier, they just need innings.
Yes.
Hunter Brown's going to need to lead the state. They're going to need to get a legit... Okay, Christian Javier's got to come back and be a legit two or three. Mm-hmm. We know that. They need to get another legit two or three. Verlander is a five is fine.
Yep. That's where I'm at with Verlander. I'm good with Verlander being added to this roster. I just have always said since the first time it really started becoming a hot discussion when Jeremy and I talked about it, like, we both said there has to be another move.
Yeah, there's got to be multiple to me.
He can't be your only starter that you add. Because I do think the long term of replacing Hunter Brown like has to be at front of mind. And that's where I know they don't
want to. Just sign him. Give him his money.
They missed the boat.
I know they missed the boat, but stop missing. Just buck up and do it for once.
Would you pay Cam Smith right now?
No.
Really?
No.
See, I think I would.
I would wait into the season, let him play a little bit, starts playing well, I'd do it during the year.
Because
he's still young enough, I think you could do it.
Or like Pena, you probably missed the window.
Oh, you missed the window. Like if he backs up last season, you absolutely missed the window.
Yeah, but you probably should have paid him off his down year, thinking that he was going to bounce back.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to pay Yiner, but you've probably missed that window.
I think you need to trade Yiner.
I'm pro-trade Yiner.
I'm trade Yiner. I know that I don't think that they will this offseason. I think it's a next offseason move.
Yeah.
But you would not make me mad for 1 second if you got rid of him.
I'm just curious, because the main thing with the Astros that we've seen a lot of in reports is that they are going to address the catcher position, but that's more of a depth at this point, right?
Like, I honestly trade Yiner and sign Realmuto.
I would love that move.
Yeah.
Like, I would be totally fine with that. And then sign another cheap old veteran.
Yeah.
Walker Yonick's not ready yet. Probably 27, which potentially could be 28 if there's no baseball in 27.
No, there's not going to be baseball in 27, let's be honest.
To me, I'm with you. Like, I'm not being negative Nancy. I'm not trying to be. But, like, when you hear...
It's going to be a pissing match.
Today, that, you know, the New York Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner, was asked very bluntly if it's fair to assume the Yankees were profitable this last season. He said no, it's not fair to assume that. Like, the owners are starting to show, like, they're trying to
act trying to say, oh, poor, pitiful me.
That's what Jim, like, to be honest with you, that's what it feels like Jim Crane's doing here.
Absolutely.
Bit. And, like, I hope he proves me wrong and he goes out and makes the Dylan Cease signing this offseason. But, like, I'm not banking on it.
This is going to happen, and the Dodgers are just going to go over there and spend a gajillion dollars, sign Kyle Tucker, sign Dylan Cease, sign all these guys.
Yeah, like, I keep seeing, like, they're predicted to get both Bo Bichette and Kyle Tucker this offseason. Like, okay.
Just go ahead and wrap it up.
I just don't understand, like, if they're going to try to implement a salary cap, what they're going to do with the
I don't know how you can make it work. I don't.
Like, you're going to have to just grandfather them in.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you're over the luxury tax, or you could trade these guys this offseason. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, because they're going to be so far over if they actually lock in on a salary cap, which I don't think
it's not going to happen.
I think they're just going to find
nothing's going to change.
I think we will see a change. I think they are going to raise. I think the compromise is going to have to increase the floor. I think they're going to.
How can you increase the floor when there's teams that aren't profitable? There are teams that aren't profitable enough to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on salary every year.
That's like, you can't really increase it. Like, you can't increase it a ton, but you can make it to the point where you force the Pittsburgh Pirates to spend a little bit of money.
Well, they're apparently trying to this offseason. Them and the Marlins.
I'll believe the Pittsburgh thing
when
it happens.
This is why I genuinely, as the older I get, love the NFL more and more by the year. Because the NFL got it right when it comes to having a sport that has balance and parity. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And even
every single year, I know that we go through dynasty periods or whatever. Any year, anybody can get great and win it all. Mm-hmm. You don't get that in baseball.
No. You have teams that make magical runs.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the best teams are the best teams.
Every year.
So the Astros dominate the American League for years. The Dodgers are dominating now the National League. And teams like the Brewers, who should be good, don't spend enough to stay as good as they could be.
Yeah.
You have organizations like the Cubs, who don't spend the way that they should be. You have the Rangers, who are crying poor and trading Marcus Semien away.
Hate to see it.
To the New York Mets.
Honestly, it was a good trade for them.
It is a good trade for them, because I like Nimmo.
He's a better player than Marcus Semien at the age of 35.
I actually think that's a really good move. The Rangers are, they're unloading guys who are not producing or who are too expensive.
They unload a few more, too.
I think so, too. Jonah Heim's gone. Garcia's gone.
If they were smart, they'd ship out DeGrom and get a ton of prospects for him.
I mean, it's like the one window where he has so much value again.
Yeah. They really, I mean, honestly, healthy. If you're being smart, you would.
But it's going to be, so what's the best move that you could dream of for the Astros this offseason? Is there a starting pitcher? Is it trading for, trying to find a way to go get, obviously trading for Joe Ryan would be awesome, but that's not probably realistic.
I think, okay.
Like Pablo Lopez might be realistic.
Pipe dream for me is just getting a Hunter Brown deal done. Period. I think people will hate this. If the money wasn't insane, I'd keep Fromber. I don't love Fromber. I don't love how it went down with the whole Salazar thing. I don't love all that. I don't love his immaturity. I don't love the fact that he goes out after games and, you know, gets bombed at the bar across the street. Like, I don't love any of that. But I know one thing with Fromber. He's going to give you 200 innings. He's probably going to give you a majority of those starts, quality starts. Mm-hmm. And occasionally in the postseason, he's going to wow you and look like one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I think I'd be willing to live with it.
Because I don't think his value is going to be as high as he thought it was going to be.
He's not getting that. Everybody's talking about you're close to $200 million. I'm like, there's no way.
I think the owners, again, are going to cry poor this offseason. Like, I think we're going to see Tucker get a huge contract. And I think that's about it. Like,
huge? You think he's getting 400?
No.
I don't think he is anymore either.
He played himself out of it.
I think he's getting close to four, but not getting the 400.
I think he played himself out of that contract at this point. He wasn't consistent. He hasn't been consistent enough. He comes up, I mean, this was his best postseason in four postseasons, mm-hmm. and it still wasn't that spectacular.
Yeah.
And he still missed the mark when you needed him to be the hero this year. Like, he could have won the Cubs that series against the Brewers. He had the opportunity. He blew it.
Yeah.
Like, so I think he cost himself some money. I think he still gets like 350.
I was thinking like 375.
Like, I just don't. Yeah, I don't think he's a $400 million player. Because there's teams that aren't spending that. Like, are the Mets going to go sign another player at that value? Probably not.
Probably not.
Are the Dodgers? Yeah, they could. But the Padres are a team that's, you know, they were in on. They're rumored for, you know, Otani. They're rumored for Correa. They've been rumored for some of these big names.
They've got a ton of money already on their payrolls.
With this money, they're legitimately can't keep up financially, apparently, which makes sense with where their market is, that Fernando Tatis Jr. could be unloaded this offseason.
I mean, yeah.
That's my dream.
For the Astros?
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't give me that vibe.
It'll never happen. But like, that's the player that like I'm like.
Here's the thing, though. You talk about a Jim Crane opportunity. That screams Jim Crane opportunity because you get them to eat a bunch of the money. And then you're talking yourself into it. I could see something like that.
Yeah, he seems like he's willing to overspend if he's not paying
everything. All of it. Yeah.
He likes the discount.
We've seen it twice. He let two of his favorite players walk out the door. The only two players that he has like publicly said anything about when they've left. Let them go and get paychecks from somebody else just to bring them back in on a half the deal, basically.
Well, at this point, I'm also like, one of the things I'm looking for this offseason is details on Alex Bregman's contract.
It's not like, going to be with the Boston Red Sox.
But like, if he gets a no trade clause, I'm just like, all right, pencil him in for coming back to the Astros in 2 years.
Yeah.
At this point, because it's just, that's what the Astros seem to do. They're like, hey, these guys.
Hey, Breggy, we need a second baseman here.
Yeah. Come on home.
Come on home.
I mean, that move would be incredible this offseason. It won't happen. I think it was Doug Glanville said he thought Tucker played himself below such a contract that he could go back to the Astros. That won't happen.
The Astros moved on.
But I think Cease is the realistic target where you can go get him. The numbers are there. The Savant numbers are there. That like, I think you can trust.
Ready
the
to
Astros.
Drop 150 on him?
Yeah. Because I don't think there's any chance that a Hunter Brown deal is getting done.
I'm with you there.
So like, who was your number one starter in your rotation when Hunter Brown leaves?
Better hope some of these prospects pop, buddy.
So like, that's why to me it's Dylan Cease. Like Dylan Cease is the guy that he's your long term.
Javier can be up there, but he's got to do it for a full 32 starts and make us start believing it.
Yeah, Rocky on the YouTube says, I think it's Tatsuya Ima, I think is how you say it. One of the hot pitcher coming over from
They're
Japan.
Not getting it. They've never gotten Japan players, ever. They're never even in the mix on them.
Yeah, but they should be.
Yeah, why? Because they got a Japanese company now sponsoring the ballpark? Because, Joe, that's racist.
Because they make an ass load of money for these teams.
That's like, true.
They make you so much money.
It's true. Jersey,
like Jim Crane cares about dollars and cents.
No, it's true.
Go get a Japanese player.
Trade Christian Walker. Sign the big fat boy that plays first base that just hits tanks.
Apparently, he's awful.
Yeah, no. Apparently, he's swing and miss like crazy.
He can't hit a fastball.
Yeah, like, but he can hit. But he hits it. He hits it far.
Yeah, but
he's the Japanese Chris Carter.
Everything he hits is breaking.
Yeah.
So like, he's going to come to the bigs, and people are just going to throw him 98. He's going to be terrible. Apparently.
Good
but
luck.
Like, you have your own television rights in Japan
that
you sell. The endorsements, the jersey sales are absurd. You get invited to play in these games, like the Dodgers and the Cubs got to play in last year. Look at the Rockets right now, above the scoreboard. There's a Turkish sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Rockets are still benefiting to this day off of Yao.
Yes.
In China. To this day.
You make so much money. Like, it can push you over the luxury tax, but you can make so much money. That's why the Dodgers, part of the reason they have so much money is because they're so heavily invested in Japan that they're just, all the money is coming over. Like, everyone's got Ohtani jerseys in Japan.
Oh,
the Dodgers
yeah.
are just raking because of that.
Yeah.
So, like, it's one thing I don't understand about
the
Astros.
It's not just Japan, though, too. Don't forget that. Like, it's all the other Asian countries over there. Same thing. Like, I know somebody from Taiwan. They are massive Ohtani people. Massive.
It doesn't make sense to me why the Astros are never in it, because it feels like it's such a cash cow for these teams to go out there and just make a bunch of money outside of your market, outside of your country, and the Astros just don't seem to ever really be interested. But they should be. Like,
well, if you could get them, like you said, sign somewhere else, trade for them on, you know, pennies on the dollar, and then Jim Crane's in.
All right. He's Michael Connor. He's hanging out with me today till 6 o'clock. I'm Joe George, and you're listening to Jeremy and Joe. Coming up next, Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He joins us next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk about D&M Leasing. Affordability, biggest problem right now in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000, and most people's wages haven't kept up. That's why some people are stuck with these 7-year loans just to make the payment work. You get your negative equity. You just, you know, look, you're paying on a car. It's the reality. You're paying on a car too much, and when you want to sell it, you owe too much money on it. So it's a total negative for you. At D&M Leasing, they solve all of those problems with the easy lease. They offer lower monthly payments, no money down, terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve the payment problem. All you have to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000. You'll get no payments until 2026. They will walk you through the process. They'll go over the mileage, all of that. So don't be scared if you've never done it before. Take the chance. Talk to D&M Leasing, and they will make the process easy, smooth for you, and provide that excellent customer service. Just go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 and tell them Joe George sent you by.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.